Our guest that we have with us tonight will be leaving on Tuesday, somewhere around noon. If any of you happen to be free that you could take them to the airport, I would like you to let me know. Oh, I see hands. Will you let me know after the meeting, please? I have waited a long time to have our Washington preceptors here. They are very precious to me and to many people that they have brought to Baba. They have never seen our school in session out here before, and so it just seemed such an opportune time that they could come, and when we're having our party tomorrow, and they can see and meet more of you in that way. Peggy has been almost all the steps of the way throughout my learning how to be a Mershta. She came to me in the early days when I first went to Washington, before I even got to India. And Andrew came along a little later. He was smart enough to up and marry her. And since then, through Baba's own blessing and choice, they have been working in Washington. And they're doing double duty because they have a Baba group, and they're now going through candidates to have a Sufi class there. And those dear people in Washington sent out with them monies to the extent of close to $600 towards our God Speaks edition and so forth. So I think that we must realize now that our bridge is complete. I went east and they walked west. And another thing they tell me is that so many people go from New York down to Myrtle Beach, or they go from here to Myrtle Beach, and don't think to stop off in Washington. And they would be most happy to welcome anybody who passed through. In other words, they want you all to know that the Washington office is on the map for more than just Baltimore and all the other surroundings there. They keep protesting that they're not trained to talk in public, and I've assured them that all I want them to do is to communicate with you their own feeling of and their experience with the Master, which has been a very long one. And so I'm asking them to come up here together, and they can interrupt each other if one of them forgets what the other one is trying to say. And so I am very happy to introduce Andrew and Peggy Muir.
Jai Baba.
Jai Baba.
I wish I could say all the clever things I've thought of the last few days to say now. They've all escaped me. First of all, I would like to, in behalf of Peggy, especially of myself, to thank you all for your loving thoughts, your prayers, your cards, all of those who knew of Peggy's major surgery in last October. The operation was a perfect success, and we just want to express our thanks to you for all of your loving thoughts. I think since Peggy came into the scene before I did, and then brought me into the fold, I would like her to tell her part of the story, that she will. And Mershta knows us both so well that we never succeed in completing anything without interrupting one another. You know, it's like probably like two children that's found something great down around the corner and they're trying to tell someone else and they just can't wait because the other one isn't getting to the point quickly enough. I have to say too that it's wonderful to hear all of you laugh so much when I say something that isn't funny. I want you all to see the greatest wife that God ever made. It was Peggy and our Murshid that taught me something about love. And now, Peggy, I'll sit back.
Just don't go too far away. I might need your help.
Can you hear?
Yeah. Can you hear? Well, I'm not so good at speaking in front of a lot of people, but I sure can take my own when I'm sitting down talking. And as Mercer knows, we don't like it generally to speak in public, I guess because we don't interrupt each other, which we certainly are experts at doing when we start talking. And our group know it, and they do the same thing. But one thing I do want to say that I think you really don't live until you've started on Baba's path. And all these little things that used to irritate you so, and you thought they were mountains, which they were after you had mulled them over in your mind and your imagination, when you're on the path, they cease to be anything but little things that you pass over the road. Then you realize how fortunate you are to think that you, as I used to say about myself, why me? Why did Mercedes select me? What did I do to really deserve this great love and the experience that I have had through her? And also the many children that we have had the pleasure and joys and sorrows of training. And to see them go out and pick up their life, you who are in the class have no idea what a great satisfaction it is to us. And to know that we have at last taken the first step on the ladder, and we can't keep on going unless we keep climbing up step by step. And our experiences and our disappointments and our successes bring us either up or down. It depends upon how you take them. And I think of one thing we get to know and learn, that there's not near as many don'ts in life. They don't occur to you like they used to before you knew how to handle them. And through the Sufi training, you know how to avoid so many don'ts, so you have more do's than you do don't in life. And you're much happier that way. And our great desire that we had before we met Baba was that just to think that maybe we might meet the avatar, and we were perfectly happy to go along. Mercedes says, come on down this road. We all went down that road because maybe, who knows, the avatar might be there somewhere. And then our great joy, and when she said, all right, pick up your marbles, we're going to Myrtle Beach. Well, she didn't have to repeat it. We all heard that. So we went to Myrtle Beach, and I think there's very few of us who were there that could really tell the full story of how we felt, because half of us don't know how we got in the barn or how we got out of it. And we've often asked Mercedes just how we entered it. And she was sitting there with Baba, and I went across the floor to go to him, and the only thing I remember is that I opened my mouth. And I said to Mercedes, did I ever close it? I just couldn't know what to do with myself till I walked up to him, and he, it's difficult to explain how one feels. You feel that here it is, this is home, and you really could just stay there. You didn't care if you went back on the road or went out in public life again, and I don't think, well, I've never had the feeling that you could have this occur the second time, because it's the most marvelous thing to think, here's what I looked for and worked for, and here it is. And the heck with the rest of it, it doesn't amount to anything anyhow. So So Mercer, as always, so gracious and lovely, she just smiled at me, and she has never told me whether I closed my mouth or not. And shall I tell some of the things? That, so when, of course, we went up and was greeted by Baba, and my one desire for years had been, if I could think that I helped one soul find the path, then I would be happy. And I had said it to my husband while we were waiting to be called in, and I said, oh, wouldn't that be marvelous? So when I walked in and met Bob, and he embraced me, and I think it was Eric was there at the time, and he says, Baba says, you have brought many souls to him. So I started just blubbering, that's all. Every time I think of it, I get the same feeling. So I have a great goal to make. If in my little way I could bring them to him then, after Mercer's teaching, I must be able to bring many. And we think we're progressing, and I want you all to remember your days with Mercer, how fortunate you are, because when you are away from her, then you'll be missing her. And that's why we came all the way over. If it was just for 10 minutes, to be with Mercer. And yeah, I think I'll let you.
Okay, dear. When I came back from overseas in 1945, Peggy and I became closer friends than we had been before. We had not yet been married. And we used to get into discussions about these things, as you all have with your friends and neighbors. And Peggy had quite a difficult time with me because I'm a very stubborn person and not very bright about those things, even still. And I would argue with her about them. I was just arguing from the standpoint of arguing, I think. I think I enjoyed it. But it was profitless until Peggy said, talk this over with Mercer, and Mercer said, will you bring him over to me? And I'll never forget that first meeting with Mercer. I knew immediately I'd never met anyone like her. And she said, ask me one question. She said, Andrew, what is it you want? I had the strangest feeling that I was talking to somebody who could perhaps fulfill my question, my answer rather. I tried to think very rapidly and very carefully about what I said because I had the feeling that it would be mine. And I was right. I told her that I wanted happiness. And this is what she has brought to me in abundance. So then, of course, as Peggy told you, Mercer took us in hand to Myrtle Beach with some others of you who are here. I'm sure those of you that were there remember your own experience at that time. I remember entering the barn when my name was called. I went through the door and I saw nothing in the room but Baba. I just didn't see anyone else. I didn't know that anyone else was there, and I ran to him because I think the nearest thing I can describe to you is I felt like the prodigal son in spades. I just had to get to him as quickly as possible. I know I embraced him. He embraced me. And either Erish or Adi, I'm not sure, said, Baba loves him very much. Now, I know he said this to many people. And I know he loves us all. But this was it. And that broke me up. But when he said he loves Baba very much, I just couldn't. I did the same as Peggy. I just had a crying session. But it was tears of bliss, of joy. And I felt that I was being somehow really washed with those tears. I wasn't purified, believe me. but it was a great feeling of tremendous relief. I always tell about the time when I was a small boy and I was lost in my hometown, and I finally found a landmark that I knew. And I stopped crying, and I felt so great that I knew I could go that way and I would get home. And this is the way I felt when I saw Baba. I just knew then that I would get there somehow. I can't explain any of the details about any of the things that really happened within us at that time. I looked into Baba's eyes and I was really drowned. I saw a small figure, tiny figure, and I felt that I wanted to pick that, what if it was a child or a very small person, I wanted to pick that up and I wanted to say, don't worry, I'll protect you, I'll take care of you, I'll see that nothing happens. I don't know what this was. I don't know what this was. I don't remember walking out of the barn or anyone saying, well, you go now or any of that. But I wanted to add to these remarks that this meeting that I'm telling you about couldn't be any more meaningful than those that you have all had in your own unique way. Because it was a meeting of hearts, it was a touching of hearts. And Baba said, when I drop the body, I will live in the hearts of my lovers, and I will go from heart to heart. And this is exactly what's happening. It's darshan all the time. You, I'm sure, have no idea in the world, couldn't possibly have any idea in the world, how much love you give. You couldn't know. You probably think at times you're kind of bad guys and things like that. But that love that you give to Mercia, to your, each other, to those who know you, that's real spiritual work. I don't mean work in the sense of drudgery. I mean work in the sense that it's effective and it's meaningful and it does something. But you must always remember that that love is not yours. It is not something that you've created. There is only one love. There is only one source of love. There is only one emotion of true love, and that's Baba. Just thank him that you can be used as a channel for that love and give it away. The more you give, the more you empty it, the more he fills it. And his love you'll never exhaust. You have found your true guide, your master, your God. Baba is God. And you will never understand what he tells you. You will never be able to live as he tells you to live until you know that truth. You are blessed beyond your imagination. You have your Murshid with you. You must not argue in your own minds about what you should do. You must be obedient to her. I assure you that every time that I have failed in obedience to Murshid, which has been many, I have been totally, without exception, wrong. I had someone ask me a long time ago, do you think you know more than Murshid? I don't think it can happen. The ego is a powerful thing. In her you have a true and dear friend. You have an infallible guide. You have a love that you can't imagine. If you can learn to love and serve as she does,
You'll change the world. If you can learn to have the patience that she has always had with us, with all of us, you'll be a saint. I will say that it was her, the magnet of her love that has brought us here. And when we leave, we'll always be singing, "We left our heart in San Francisco."
Well, in 1956, when Baba was here, and we had the great pleasure of meeting him again in the Delmonica, and then we came down ahead, went to Myrtle Beach, and may I tell about this little thing? It was four of cars from the Washington crowd left New York ahead of time because Mercida and the group from New York were flying down. So we drove down and we reached Wilmington around about, I'd say, 11 o'clock in the morning. No one had any idea when Baba was leaving New York. But we got about, I'd say 8 or 10 miles past Wilmington, and someone said, "Oh, why don't we go to the airport? Perhaps they're coming in. Baba's plane might be in." There was no question in Oregon. We took our turns, turning around, and back we go to the airport. Now, no one knew when they were going to arrive there. And as we got out of the cars and ran in, we didn't know it would be there then or in the next 3 or 4 hours. But we had to hurry. And one of the boys ran over and they said, "Has the New York plane come in yet?" And the man at the desk said, "Oh, it's circling now." And that's why we had to hurry back, so we could meet Mercida and Bob and all of them coming in. And I'll never forget Mercida's face when she came down the steps. And I think we were a sorry-looking crowd because we were all tired. And here she just stood and looked. And of course, then we all started another shower, you know, naturally. So then we spent the time in Myrtle Beach. And then when she was, when we were coming back, she was entertaining Baba and the Mandali at her home. And it was beautiful. We couldn't describe that place when we walked in. First, Carson, who was the butler there, he just tried to do everything that possible.
Can you tell him? You went home the night before because he wouldn't let me. And you fixed up a lot of things in the house. You've been too modest.